Who will fight for you when you can't fight for yourself? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Greg Ranney and his wife, who fought for him when he couldn't fight for himself because he was dying from cardiac arrest.
I think it's a really beautiful picture of loving your neighbor as yourself, helping somebody when they're going through a hard time. And I think sometimes we go through things in life and we can feel really alone. And we can also feel like, I can't fight. I'm going through a really hard time, whether, I mean, in his situation, he literally was about to die.
Right.
But there are times in our lives when we can lose a job, go through a hard time, and we're just worn out and tired. The enemy, the devil, will come and attack people, and they just want to lay down.
What I really like about this is that his wife really fought for him. And I guess in times of struggle, you'll really find out who your friends are. You'll really find out who really is standing by your side. Because when things are happy, things are good, anyone can be your friend. But when you need and you come to a time where you cannot fight for yourself, it will be your friends who will fight for you, or the ones who truly love you. And I think that's, you know, you're going to hear an amazing story of that. But I think I've learned this a lot in my life where, you know, who will fight for you? And there's times, and even someone who's listening right now, and maybe you're thinking of a time where something bad happened to you and you found out that your friends were not there for you, your mother, maybe your father, and you felt alone. You felt betrayed. And so who will ultimately be there for you when you can't fight for yourself?
Well, you know, I've found myself, and I think we're allowed to get in these situations so that we can grow closer to God. I honestly do. Sometimes we go through tests and trials, but ultimately we can either grow near God or away from Him. We can either be angry with God or say, God, I need you. And it's in those moments where I really found He was my advocate. He was the only one that I could cling to. Now, I had friends who could pray for me. You've certainly been there for me in my hard times and trials, but it was only God in that moment who could really set me free from whatever it was I was going through, who can help me.
And I think that's good, because we, and I think we know God will be there. And that's a good thing. If you don't know that, you need to know that God will always be the one to fight for you when you cannot fight for yourself. And that should bring a realization of safety, no matter where you're at. But there's another thing, is that for me, I want friends who are going to fight for me. And the Bible says in James, it says that the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. I want those type of people in my life, and I want those people to fight for me when I'm in a time where I can't fight for myself.
Exactly. And I think it's so important, because our words are powerful and prayer is very powerful. So if you have someone going through a hard time, just listening to them, being there for them, praying for them is so important, instead of shooting them in the foot and causing more problems. Let's hear from our next guest after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Elite Nails and Spa Towers and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Dreaming of a relaxing manicure, pedicure, and to die for nails? Make your dream a reality at Elite Nails and Spa, where they always take the time to leave you feeling sensational. Come see them at the corner of East Hamden and South Tower Road in Aurora, or call them at 303-955-7112. You'll get a 10% discount if you mention this radio ad. That's 303-955-7112.
Hi, everyone. This is Kathleen Lay, host of the Real Life Radio Show.
This is Evangelist Ann Lay, and we wanted to thank you for being a faithful listener to Real Life.
Yeah, and did you know that we have a prayer line just for you? If you need prayer, please feel free to give us a call at 877-480-4477. Also, we have monthly partners who receive a CD set of six of our shows every month. If you'd like to help us to reach more people through your generous donation, please feel free to give us a call, 877-480-4477. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Greg and his wife, May Lynn, last name Ranney, and they're going to share with us a very hard story, a thing that they went through, but actually came out to be a beautiful ending. And actually, Greg had cardiac arrest, died four times in 2006, and then again died three times in 2008. Oh. But he had an experience that happened during that time when he died, and he's going to share that. So let's welcome to the show both Greg and Maylin. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us. We really appreciate the opportunity to share with your audience about how God worked in our lives.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Tell me, Greg, now you were a young guy when this all took place, so it's pretty shocking to hear that at 41 years old, you had a cardiac arrest, that you died four times. Leading up to this, how was your health? Did you have any symptoms or concerns at this time?
No, none whatsoever. As a matter of fact, there's no family history of any cardiac or heart problems at all. I've never smoked. I've never drank. I've never done any kind of legal or illegal drugs. I've always been an athlete. And it actually happened when I was on a treadmill at work during my two-hour-a-day workout that I used to do.
Wow.
Oh, so you sound like you were pretty much in shape then.
Yes, I was.
So at this time, here you were on a treadmill and you're working out. What started to happen?
You know, I just didn't feel well. And I thought I was just kind of overdoing it. It was during the October cooler air. I thought I was getting the flu, and I just sat down at the end of the treadmill, and I remember waking up, and I thought, well, that's kind of weird because I wasn't tired, and I just didn't know what was going on. So I called my wife, and I said, you know, I probably shouldn't drive home from work. Could you come pick me up? So I got dressed, walked out of the workout room, and as soon as I walked out of the workout room, I fell to the ground. I couldn't even stand up, and I just leaned up against the block wall. A gentleman passing by saw me and waited there while my wife was on her way, and then they were trying to get me to go to the hospital, and of course, I wasn't listening, and I said, no, I just want to go home, take a bath, and go to bed because I'm tired and just don't feel well, and of course, the whole way home, I'm telling my wife, just get me home. I don't want to go to the hospital, and as soon as we got home, she even said, just stay in the vehicle. I'll go get our daughter and we'll help you get inside. And of course, I didn't listen. I got out. And as soon as I got up to the front porch, that was the first time that I actually died. I just remember falling towards the ground, and then I don't remember anything else after that.
Wow.
Yeah. Were you having pain in your chest or anything at that time? Or was it just the feeling of being tired?
Yeah, there was no pain. There was no discomfort. I literally felt like I had a flu bug. Like I was a little nauseous, I was sweaty, and felt like I just needed to go to bed. Now that I know what happened, they said that that was signs that my heart was racing, and it had been getting up to about 300 beats per minute. And like any other muscle in your body, you overwork it, it just wants to quit. And that's exactly what happened to me. My heart muscle just stopped, and that's when it happened on our front porch. I don't know if it was my hand or my head or whatever hit the front door, and my wife, Maylin, heard that, and that's when she knew something was wrong, and she came running out.
Now, Maylin, as a wife, seeing this happen, your husband's sick, at first maybe you're thinking, okay, he's not feeling good, but now you have this husband that just fell. What were you thinking at this time?
Well, he doesn't have the flu. He has something major going on. And I was working at a facility that was a healthcare medical facility. So just a couple months prior had CPR training. And so I had rolled him over and I knew that I had to start CPR.
Wow.
My daughter was there, 14 years old. And I said, call 911. I started CPR. It was a miracle in itself that there were two ambulances that came. One was 2 minutes and the other was about 4 minutes. So we had help right away.
Wow. What a traumatic situation. So here he is in the hospital. And during this time that he's in the hospital, Maylin, what were you thinking? Did doctors come up to you and say anything? How long did it take for them to figure out what was happening?
Well, it took a while. Unfortunately, because I was praying in the spirit and speaking words of life over him in the ambulance, I did hyperventilate and had to go into an emergency room myself. So it took a while for me to get kind of stabilized and then hear about him. But they said they were going to call his time of death and that they shocked him one last time. And that was because his sister and brother-in-law is an EMT. They were both in the room and they said, turn him up or burn him. Cook him or he gets revived. And he did. He was revived and stabilized in order to go to a better heart hospital.
Wow.
And that was actually the fourth time that I died. The first time that I actually flatlined was on the front porch when she started CPR. The second time was when the paramedics put me into the ambulance. I crashed in the ambulance and they didn't want to take off until they stabilized me. Once they stabilized me, they got me to the first hospital. When they pulled up to the hospital emergency door is when I crashed again. That was the third time. And as they were taking me on the gurney into the hospital, there was already between 30 and 40 people there, family and friends and relatives, neighbors. My daughter, she had been on whatever social media and texting. They had already gotten there to pray over me and stuff before I even got into the room. As I'm going into the hospital, they're bagging me. They're doing the CPR. They're cutting clothes off. They're doing everything they can to revive me. They did revive me a little bit. Then when I got into the emergency room itself is when I crashed that fourth time. And that's when family and friends, everybody was just beyond themselves because they were calling my time of death. And my sister, who is a respiratory therapist, and her husband, who's a paramedic on life flight, were in the room. And she said, no, you shock him until he's either alive and continue shocking him until he's either alive or until he's as brown as toast.
Wow.
The tan comes natural.
I know that, Greg, during that time that you died, you actually had a situation where you were no longer in your body. You actually were elsewhere.
Right.
You had a visitation to heaven. And we're not going to have time to talk about it right now. We're going to have you on our next show to share. But I wanted to mention also, Maylin, you at the time, being a strong believer in Jesus, you were telling people not to say anything negative or that if they were going to pray, that they prayed in faith. Is that right?
Right. And we were learning about walking in faith at church. And part of that is what you speak. And those words that you speak are so powerful. And to only speak words of life, words of truth, and scripture, pouring scripture over him. And that's what I insisted on at the hospitals for the visitors.
That's wonderful. So, Greg, you are alive and well, and I'm so happy that you are going to share with us what happened when you died that fourth time and where you went. And it's going to be awesome. So let's have you back on our next show. We're going to pray for our guests right now. Thank you both for being with us, Greg and Maylin, and we will have you on the next show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Gosh, I mean, it's just a real intense story, and it's a real story. Father, we thank you that there is something beyond and something more real than what we see today, and we're going to hear about it in the next show. Father, there's someone who's listening who is constantly traumatized by the fear of death, thinking, oh, well, maybe this is a heart attack, or maybe I'm having this, or maybe I'm having this health risk or that, and death is always tormenting you. I have good news is that when we come to know Jesus, when we come into faith and we're sure of it and we're sure of where we're going, we no longer will have that fear of death. So Lord Jesus, we just call upon your name. We ask that you would absolve and get rid of that fear for my friend who's listening right now. And Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us, Lord God, and the reality of what happens after we die. Father, I ask for this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. Join us next time for Real Life.